SOP 188. Today we're talking about what constitutes too many commercials and the importance of recording test shows on today's School of Podcasting's morning announcements.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you very much for tuning in. This is where we talk about all things podcasting. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments toll-free, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. The number is 888-563-3228. And today, I'm talking about a podcast. It's called Money Life. And in theory, this should be one of my favorite podcasts. It comes from two perspectives that I identify with. One is it's how to manage your money. And I don't know about you, I like money. Money is my friend. And the second one, it's looking at money from a Christian perspective. And I also share a Christian perspective and thought, wow, this should be one of my favorite podcasts. So I started listening to it and listened to about five episodes before I finally unsubscribed. Well, why did I unsubscribe? Here's an example. They did a 24-minute episode. They had a one-minute commercial at the 3-minute mark, the 9-minute mark, the 17-minute mark, and then a big plug at the end. And basically, this constituted to 17% of this 24-minute podcast was commercials. Now, what made it worse is the episodes for those that were regular listeners, the commercials for regular listeners were the exact same commercials every podcast. And if you think about it, here in the States, there is a insurance company called Geico, where they have a little gecko with a British accent talking about saving on car insurance. And I love the little gecko because they constantly change the commercial. They also have cavemen and they have this stupid money thing that follows you around. But Geico, the same product, is advertised all the time with different advertisements, and this company did not do that. And the other thing that gets me, I think why they have this format, is it's originally broadcast as a radio show, but there are other people that are doing radio shows like Dave Ramsey and the now defunct Jillian Michaels podcast. Both those shows had advertisements on the radio. They cut out the advertisements and just gave you, for lack of a better phrase, the meat and potatoes for the podcast, because both of those podcasts they promote their websites. So I guess they figured that was enough of that. So now I realize you could say, but Dave, you're getting the podcast for free. You should be able to tolerate that much commercials. And I would say that's true. But for me, at least, 17% commercials without having phenomenal content was a little bit much for me. For me, I would think 5%, which is 1 minute for 20 minutes of podcast, which is kind of about what I do when you think about it. I usually promote some things at the end, and my podcast is usually around 20 minutes. So for me, it was enough to say, I can't take any more. I can't take the same commercials over and over and over. And what they were doing wasn't a bad idea. They needed segues from one topic to the next, or in some cases, they were just breaking up an interview into chunks. I understand that, and sometimes you can just give your listener a brain break, but why not? You know, I do that on one of my podcasts, and I just say the URL, just something to break it up. I understand that, but to play the same commercials over and over and over and over drove me nuts. So I couldn't take that. So if somebody says, how much is too much in terms of commercials? I would say 17%. If your podcast is more than 17% commercials, that is my new benchmark, and that's what I would say. So 1 minute for every 20 minutes is what I strive for. I could take 2 minutes for every 20 minutes. That would make it whatever. But 17% was too much. I would love to have your feedback. Have you ever had a podcast that you unsubscribed because there were too many commercials or the content ratio? So content / advertising / pimping / whatever you want to call it ratio was too high. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, I have mentioned in this podcast before how important it is to record a test show. Well, I started back in May May 2nd of 2009, I had the idea of doing a podcast review show. The idea was I will review a podcast based on a set of criteria, and I need to have this criteria be measurable so that every podcast gets reviewed under the same exact guidelines. And this podcast could then be a tool to promote the school of podcasting.com. And I could make money maybe selling iPod accessories or Google AdSense and things like that. And I did some research and found that there weren't too many active podcasts doing podcast reviews. And so I thought, okay, that sounds good. I thought I could be like Siskel and Ebert, you know, at the movies. I was going to bring in my now wife to do this because she hates podcasts. She does. Don't ask me why. And I found the website, did that all on May 2nd. May 5th, it took me about 90 minutes to create. I had a plugin that allowed people to review my review. Very neat plugin. Spent about 90 minutes setting that up. On day 8 of this, which was, I'm not sure, I was thinking of a slogan, kind of my pitch phrase. So I came up with cool kudos and constructive criticism, the podcast review show. So that was going to be it. I wasn't sure if kudos was going to be the right phrase or constructive criticism or powerful praise, I think is what I ended up with, powerful praise and constructive criticism. And I recorded episode 0, which is an introduction to this, and kind of said what to expect, and I submitted the podcast to iTunes. I had never recorded an actual show. I had the idea of the show, but had never actually gone through it. So I had the website made, I had the blog ready, I had the album art, had everything, but I had never recorded the test show. So as I looked through my notes here, the last thing I did was, after a week, I started recording test shows. So that was in May. So after recording about 4 shows in June, I started finding out that it was hard to record, to get my criteria to come out so that a show that I thought was bad actually received a really bad review, a real bad number, because you would come up with like, hey, here's a podcast that I would never listen to. They got a score of 76. And I'm like, no, that should be more like 55. So I kept tweaking the criteria, tweaking the criteria. Say that 3 times fast. Go ahead. Tweaking the criteria. Tweaking the criteria. And that was not very good. And plus, I did some sample reviews and submitted them to the podcasters, who then got very angry because in some cases I was saying, this isn't very good. You could do this better. You could do this better. You're missing your audience. And they would get upset. And I thought, this is not really the goal of this, was to promote people to join the School of Podcasting or, you know, hire me as a consultant. And what it was doing was making people mad. And I went, this isn't it. And I also found out that listening to some of these podcasts, listening to podcasts that you wouldn't choose, like if I'm looking for a podcast, I'll type in a topic that I'm looking for. But these were podcasts that I didn't really want to listen to. And I was also set with the weird scenario. What do you do if there was a podcast that was well-produced? Like there was one about the Andy Griffith Show. Very well produced, very in-depth. And if you're into the Andy Griffith Show, this was a great podcast. I'm not that into the Andy Griffith Show, so this would be a podcast that I personally wouldn't listen to. But if you're into the Andy Griffith Show, by all means. I think it was something about a barbershop. And I apologize to Andy. Andy, I'll put a link in your show notes. I'll look it up. But it just wasn't one for me. And so, after doing some test shows, realizing that I always say you have to have a passion for your topic, didn't like that. Didn't really have the. It's not that I didn't have the passion. It wasn't doing what I wanted it to do, and it was hard to do because I listened to not that particular podcast, but I listened to another one that literally was probably the worst podcast I've ever listened to. And I just thought, this is not fun anymore. This is painful. And if I'm going to be honest, I have to go ahead and listen to the whole thing, and I just didn't want to. So that is the importance of recording a test show. Now you might say, but Dave, what if, doesn't that mean I have to spend money on, you know, buying a microphone and things like that? I don't want to put out all this money and then find out I don't like the show. Well, there are things called cassette decks, probably have one in your closet. record a show that way. Or just pretend you're recording. And you may find that just doing a show that it's really not that fun. Or it's not as easy as it seems, things like that. So in this case, this official idea has been paused. Now I have a couple other podcasts that I'm working on. And that was the other thing I did very wrong. I announced this podcast before I ever recorded it, being, of course, Mr. Podcast Consultant Guy. I thought, oh, I'm going to love this show. I love reviewing podcasts. And it turns out I didn't. It turns out it wasn't that easy. It turned out it wasn't that easy to be fair. And for those that do it, I give you kudos. In fact, if you want to maybe take over this show, I'll sell you the domain and the theme. But at this point, this idea has been officially paused. It's not officially dead, but I have a couple other ideas for podcasts that I'm working on. I'm not going to announce them. I've actually recorded some test shows. I do like this podcast, and when it's ready, when I have a few in the chamber, in other words, when there's some podcasts for you to listen to, then I will tell you about that. So that's my tip for today. Record some test shows, even if you don't have a microphone and things like that. And while I have you here, this is a new room. I have no curtains in here. I have no carpet. I'm going to adjust something here real quick so you can hear all the noise in the room. This is a condenser microphone. I'm using an Audio-Technica 3035, and you can hear, if I even back up a bit, all the room noise that's in here. So if I was in a room, it was kind of, and also I found out in this new house, the air conditioner, when the air conditioner turns on, it's, the good news is it really cools down the house quickly. The bad news is it's really loud. And it's not like having one in my window. It's actually the one in the floor. So I'm going to switch. I'm going to turn off my microphone, and I'm going to turn on a Shure SM58. So here I am now talking into the Shure SM58. Do you hear the difference? Now this one's right. I mean, my mouth is on the microphone. I could actually turn up the treble. But if you're in a place, now I'm holding this in my hand. Normally this would be in a stand. But you can hear how this doesn't pick up all the room noise. I would probably want to put a pop filter in front of this, so I'm doing that now to help with that. And you still want to get kind of close on the SM58, but you can hear here, this is the SM58. Okay, I've got to move my hand now. And this is the condenser microphone. So condenser microphones pick up much more, even if I get close to the microphone. But I was trying to do that, and you probably heard me pop some peas in this episode. So condenser microphones really do pick up room noise, and I'm real close now, and I'm even talking across the microphone, but it does pick up a lot of room noise because there's just nothing but bare walls here. So I'm going to go again. There's the Audio-Technica, and there's both microphones, and now I'm turning off the Audio-Technica, and there's just the Shure SM58. So condenser microphones really pick up room noise. So I'm actually thinking of switching to a Shure SM58 until I get some carpet in here, maybe some curtains or some good old-fashioned. If you go to Walmart, they sell mattress foam that looks like egg cartons, and that also helps absorb sound. So that is going to do it for this edition of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. I want to thank you very much for tuning in. The thing to keep in mind is, number one, if you're thinking of starting a podcast, you can do it real easy. I've got a website for you, schoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We've got resources. So if you're like, hey, I need to find a way to sell my podcast, I need background music, I'm looking for cool themes, we've got it all there. Then if you have questions, of course, if you have a book and you're learning how to podcast, you can ask a book a question. It's going to give you the same answer. You have me. You can email me. I have a special section inside the School of Podcasting that goes directly to me that doesn't get mixed in with all the questions I get from the public. We also have live webinars, so you can actually not only ask questions, but say, Dave, can you show me how to do that? And I can do that right there at the webinar. You can start your podcast today by going to start.schoolofpodcasting.com. And I would love to be your personal podcast coach. The other great thing about it, we do offer a money-back 30-day trial. So if you're on day 28 and you're going, eh, this isn't for me, send me an email. We'll refund your money. I've been doing this since 2005, and I haven't refunded anybody yet. So come check it out, schoolofpodcasting.com. I'm Dave Jackson, and until next week, class dismissed.